Well, I want to commend you on getting back in here so well, although I think there was more people before we started, so maybe not everybody's in here. But you did great, and I hope you enjoyed the coffee break. And I know you'll enjoy hearing from our team in just a few moments here. As most of you know, but some of you won't know, on the 15th of March, five of us, a band of four brothers and our little sister Dawn, she was known as the short straw whenever somebody ended up with her on the team. So it's because she's short. So it was a term of endearment. We took off from here at about midnight on the 15th, ended up in the airport on the 14th, and took off on the night of the 15th around midnight to head to Kenya. And as most of you know, we were supposed to be heading to Ethiopia, but because of a number of reasons, that was not doable. So we were able to divert with 3 weeks' notice and end up in Kenya. So we flew into Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and then to Nairobi, and then jumped on a plane and met up with Marvin there. Marvin and Murray, where are you? Come on up front. I want you guys up front ready to go. So Marvin, come on up front. Murray, come on up front. And it's Marvin's birthday, by the way, today. I just found out. So, but we ended up, and Marvin met us there because he works for Air Canada, so he flew on his own, went through Egypt, and we could not find him in the smallest of rooms. Murray and I could not find him. And then somewhere in a back row, we see this foot stick up, and Marvin was sleeping in the back pew. And we found him, and he was there where he was supposed to be. But we took off from Nairobi, went to Kisumu, kind of northwest from Nairobi, and then jumped in a bus in the middle of an African rainstorm in the rainy season and drove for about an hour and a half, which everybody thought was on mud roads, but it was paved roads. And ended up in Siaya. I still can't say it. Siaya. And then we would bus out every day to go to Seje where we were working. And we were working with a school there. And this is going to sound terrible, but who can tell me the name of the school? It had a lot of different names. Pardon me? Seje Grace Academy. It was one of the names. They had a kind of a revolving name. We were also working with Christ Glory Center Church. What? We don't know what the name of the school was. It's a nice school, nice kids, but with a kind of a name that was evolving as we were there. But it was tied to the church, the Christ Glory Center Church in Siaya and around the area. There's nine churches that work together there under the leadership of Pastor Silas and Pastor Kimberly, his wife. And the team's going to tell you more, but I just want to start by telling us that I want to read to you the Great Commission. We read this often tied to missions, but it's as much about our mission to our next-door neighbors as the missions around the world. But it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And many of us have heard that growing up. We've heard it quite often tied to our missions conferences. I was thinking today that this is a passage that we have pretty much convinced ourselves is a passage for white people in the West. Passage Christ gave us 2,000 years ago so we could finally use it today as white people in the West to go and bring Christ to the rest of the world. Pastor Dustin says it often tied to our trips to Tijuana that we are not taking Christ anywhere that he's not already at work. We're just going to add to the work, to be involved in the work, to grab a hold of the work and see what we can do with it. And it's pretty amazing if you look at world history and church history, how fast the gospel went from this moment Christ gave this commission out to the known world at the time, into Africa, into Europe, and then just continually went as the world developed and as the world widened with people. So this is not something new. It's not something that we have to take. The gospel is alive and well in Africa. But the joy we had was going to aid them in their discipleship work. Came alongside the church to help them do what they think is important in their area, which is to build a school for children. To allow kids to go to a school. And this is not just a school. These kids have uniforms, which a lot of kids don't in some parts of the world. This school, they get two meals a day. The parents are part of an organization that help farm around the school so they can provide the food. But these kids get two square meals a day. Some of them are walking miles to get there, but they get two meals a day, and they are quite healthy compared to most children in the developing world and the third world. So we did not go to take the gospel there. We did not go there to even present it. I was given an opportunity to do a training for pastors, and yet we chose not to do that because they have pastors who are doing good work there. We went to toss bricks to build a school, to add a couple classrooms so a school that is growing can now grow into the next year and into the year after. They're up to grade 5 right now, and the school wants to go to grade 7. They now have a classroom for grade 6 and for grade 7 next year. They can complete their pre-high school education there. And you guys supported it. We were able to take close to $20,000 and pour into bricks and workers. We didn't take work away from them. We came alongside to help the workers that were doing the work. But these kids can continue on where they can hear the gospel and get two meals a day and grow and be educated and live good lives. Our team's going to tell you what God talked to them about while they're there, what God opened up to them in just a few moments. But before the team comes, and when the team comes, Don's going to go first, and then Dale, and then the birthday boy, Marvin, and then Murray's going to bring up the rear. But I want you to watch this video. This is one that's done by Hungry for Life, our partner agency. And there's some testimony in here as well. We'll watch this, and then Dawn will come up and give her thoughts, and then we'll just move down that list of you folks, okay?
The fact that the children even say, like, knowledge is power, knowledge is progress, knowledge gives them an opportunity to hopefully get ahead, to fly, and to have that extra classrooms in there, the extra knowledge that the kids can, you know, get and stay in school, it just gives them so much more chance to achieve the dreams that they have, to become doctors or lawyers or dentists or whatever, to really help their community and help, you know, help this area.
God says, start with what you have and trust me. And a lot of times we're waiting for God to move before we join him, and he wants us to move and he will take us where we need to go.
People are very gracious, and as you can well imagine, the poverty is pretty extreme in this part of the world, but they make do with what they have. They're grounded in Christ, which is really, when we always say, when God is enough, when you're in your most dire situation and you figure that your faith will carry you through, here's where the rubber meets the road. Faith is what carries you through.
Something that I've always struggled with back home was how to see people as God sees them, as Jesus sees them, and how I can love them in the same way. And over here, it just came naturally. They're a beautiful people. They very open, very sharing, easy to get along with, big smiles all the time. So, yeah, I really enjoy that, and I'm hoping I can carry some of that experience back to Canada and help me look at people the same way I can look at these Kenyans.
They're hardworking, they're resilient, they stick to it. They see God's blessing where it comes, not where it's not. You know, they don't sit and moan and groan about what God has not provided. They rejoice in what God has provided.
Thank you for supporting and partnering with us. in developing this community. The school currently has 152 children, 10 teachers, and we are up to class 6. We want to bless the Lord that this year we have had a blessing from a team from Edmonton, Leduc Fellowship, which has given us one extra class. It has been great partnering with you, and God has been a great blessing to us. Again, many, many greetings and regards, and our love to you guys. Blessings.
This was my first missions trip. Heading into it, there were a few changes and unexpected turns. Unexpected for me, but not for God. And I had to trust that there was a reason for these changes. While I was disappointed that we were not going to Ethiopia as planned, I was so thankful that we were still able to go to Kenya. Thank you to all of you who supported us in prayer and financially. I definitely felt the strengths of your prayers. For instance, when I was sharing for the church services, I know I wasn't doing it in my strength or abilities, and your prayers for health, they were definitely felt as well by all of us. When I look back at our time in Kenya, it's difficult to choose a highlight for me. It was all a highlight, really. It was all such a blessing. Before I left, I'd heard so many times from several people who had already been either to Africa or somewhere else in the world, that we go thinking that we are going to help and encourage others, and you come home feeling more blessed and encouraged than you could have ever given. This was my experience as well. I decided to share about something I was very encouraged and challenged by, a story about stepping out in faith. Our field partners, Pastor Silas, who was on the video, and his wife Kimberly, have had several different teams visit through their ongoing relationship with Hungry for Life. Chad, our team leader for Hungry for Life, has been there several times before. This story has been years in the making and is an ongoing one. I am so thankful to have been one tiny part of it. The day after we arrived, we were given a tour of the school we would be working on, Seje Glory Center Academy. I was thrilled to find out that we would not only be helping to build one classroom, but to build two. Pastor Silas and Kimberly then shared their part of the story with us. As we sat under the shade of a beautiful tree, which had been nicknamed Pastor Silas's office, I wish I had an office like that, they told us about how God had led them into this ministry and given them a vision to help educate the less fortunate. This can have an amazing impact on the whole family and the whole community. We were also fortunate enough to meet some of these families. When Pastor Silas and Kimberly asked God for direction on how this was going to be possible, he impressed on them to just start with what they had. If I remember right, they had $100 a month, hardly enough to build a school, pay staff, probably not even enough for the supplies needed. We have the benefit of stepping into the story midway through, being able to see what God has already accomplished so far. They stepped out in faith with what they had, and God gave them everything they needed to fulfill not their plans, but his plan. Not all up front, but just as they needed them. They started with a preschool in a little grass thatched roof hut. The current principal of the school, it was his home, and he would give it up during the day as the school and live in it at night and use it for his home. The classrooms have been built as the next grade was needed. Currently, they go to what they call class 6. They needed the classroom for what they call class 7 to be ready for the fall, and God chose to use his people at Leduc Fellowship Church to fill that need. With two classrooms being built, they will be able to use one classroom for a multi-purpose room or something that they'll be able to put to use. They are trusting God to continue the work he started with plans to finish the school through high school for a library, a kitchen, dorm rooms, and eventually even a university. These are big plans, and they are trusting God each step of the way. The people I met are now part of my story, and I want to continue to pray for them. The wonderful people that I met are now a part of my story. They are from a small community in Sege that I'd never heard of before, and yet they are permanently embedded in my heart. Seeing and not just hearing what he can accomplish, starting with two ordinary people who are trusting him, was life-changing for me. I'm very thankful he has been patient and kind with me. I'm a pretty slow learner. But I'm also excited to see what he's going to do and continue to do, not only in Africa, but in our midst as well through this church and this family. In closing, another cute story. The kids were absolutely wonderful, and every time we would have a break while we were working, we had to take lots because we're, you know, people not used to the heat. And so I was taking a water break, and the kids, as you saw in the video, they would gather around. Anytime you stopped, you'd have a flock of kids, and they would touch my arm, and they'd say, they called me very white, and they called me very soft. And the little ones who hadn't been... I guess they hadn't seen as many people from the West, would touch my arm, and then they would look at their hands to see if anything had rubbed off. They were so cute, I can't even tell you. We were kids when we were outside one day. I thought I would teach them a song, and the only one that came to mind, I don't work with kids a lot, and from my camp days, the only thing I could remember was head and shoulders, knees and toes. I thought, I can do that one. So we started, and they're following along, and I'm doing the actions, and all of a sudden, I realized I couldn't remember how the song ended. So I stopped, kind of froze, and they all continued. So I didn't teach them anything. They taught me.
It's amazing that the one we affectionately call the short straw is such a powerful member of our team. She was amazing throughout the whole thing. And she also talked what I was going to talk about. So I'm going to give you a few little snippets of what I got out of the trip. Some of it was very amazing. Most of it was very amazing. Who here has ever experienced the joy of the Lord? Hands? That's awesome. I finally got to. And it was came about in kind of a weird way. About halfway through the trip, one morning as I was tossing and turning, it was getting close to time to get up, I found that I woke up with a smile on my face. And I thought, what brought that on, you know? So I rolled over, and I was kind of contemplating on this, and I dropped back to sleep again. And next thing I know, I wake up, I got another smile on my face. And the only reason I could ascribe to it was the fact that I was experiencing the joy of the Lord. I just felt so wonderful being in that place, working with those people. They treated us like dignitaries, like we were somebody special, except the work team. The construction company, we were just one member of the team, and this is what you got to do. You better go ahead and do it. So we did. By the end of the 2 weeks that we were there, the crew chief himself was quite the character. But by the end of the 2 weeks, we were giving it back to him just as bad as he was giving it to us. Mortar, mortar, mortar. You know, like meaning bring more mortar, or bring more bricks or whatever. And there was a few times we got him, and he was really good-natured. He'd start laughing about it. They enjoyed our company so much, and according to Chad from Hungry for Life, this has never been done before, but they actually gave us company shirts.
That's why I'm not wearing a tie this week. Yeah, there's other things, too. I found that kids like to be tickled no matter where they're from or whatever. It's just the staff at the school, they overfed us. I mean, when it's hot, sometimes it's hard to eat, but it's an insult not to eat, so what are you going to do? I mean, every day we were there, we got a nice tea break in the morning,
and they had these wonderful little donuts that we dipped in jam and ate, and like that was, for me, that was like the best.
And then we'd have lunch, and the pastor, Felix, who we all thought looked a lot like Kevin Hart, the actor, and he was just so humble and kind, he would serve us up every day, and it was just a wonderful experience. Some of you know my story of coming to Christ, and I shared that twice in two different churches. And that too was amazing in that everybody was just so happy for me that I had been able to come to know Christ the way I had. And that I was actually there on a mission that 5 years ago I never would have foresaw. I'm sure a lot of my friends never would have foreseen. So all in all, I just learned so much from God, and like I shared in the video, just coming to appreciate and love people as Christ loves them, just for who they are, not necessarily because of what they do to you or for you, but just seeing them all each in their own unique way and learning to appreciate them for that. So thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Maguzo Marv, which is Swahili, Mzulu, Mzungu, sorry. It's Swahili for white guy, but I think it means maybe dumb white guy. I don't know, so I wore the T-shirt. I'll just share a quick story about one of the days after we'd been laying bricks for a couple days and the weather was hot. As Donna shared, Chad, our team leader, decided to take us for a bit of a respite, a break day we had. And he took us to a resort, a fancy resort that probably none of us could afford to stay at. But they treated us for lunch. And so in order to get to this particular resort, which was on the shores of Lake Victoria, so just to give you a little background as to where we were in Kenya. But if you ever look at a map of Africa, right in the middle of the continent, there's always this big blue dot. And it's the largest, I think, freshwater lake in the continent. And we were right on the right side of it, right on the west beach called Lake Victoria. We had this almost, I don't know, 45-minute boat ride to the resort. But as Murray and I were in the front of the boat, the water was a little rough. And so we were get banged around pretty good on the front end of the boat. And I was Don's height after we got to the resort. So, yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned, Don mentioned about when we sat under the tree. And I do recall as well that the whole dream of the school that we were at, and there was another school that they had started, started from a dream of $100. Him and his wife were discussing that they wanted to start a school in Africa. And they didn't have any of the resources. And just in faith, they said, well, we've got $100, let's go from there. And so now I think there's over 500 kids between the two schools. And, you know, teams like us go over. There's teams from Ottawa that go over. It's just an amazing vision. So it shows that you just keep putting that one step foot in front of the other. You know, we did do safaris at the tail end, and we saw some amazing scenery. But ultimately for me, and I'm sure when I come back from travel, it's the people that you meet that really make the trip something special. You can do these fancy things, and you can bucket list and check mark things, and that's all good. That's all part of it. But it's the people that you come back and the people that you remember that you've met, Pastor Silas and his wife Kimberly, who are amazing hosts, the construction team that Dale talked about, with William yelling at us. It was quite good. It reminds me of the parable that Christ shared. Every morning, just to backtrack a little bit more, every morning we had a time after breakfast that we called our thought of the day. And anybody could share, whether it be a scripture or just something that impacted them the day before. And so in that nature, I'll just share a little vision that I had this morning. But when the rich young ruler came to Christ and asked him, what were the two greatest commandments? And the one was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think this morning, as we share here in community, as Pastor Tustin shared in the email, and Pastor Dennis shares almost every Sunday, that people are what make the difference. The only thing that lasts into eternity is God's word and people, right? So what we do this morning in sharing a cup of coffee and a donut is just a means to connect with people that you haven't seen in a while. I hope you took the opportunity to do that today. It does remind me that in Kenya, as I shared in the video, there's not a lot of material things there. And so one thing that Kenya does teach us, or taught me, is that when you don't have a lot of material things, community makes up the difference. So we noticed that in some of the compounds we went to visit or some of the homes we went to visit, the people live in community. So mom and dad will live here and the kids will live here. And they live in these little enclaves of support for each other. And I think we sort of lost that a little bit in our culture. I've heard it said sometimes that one of the worst things that's happened to modern North America is the invention of the garage door opener. Years ago, people would come home, they'd get out of their car, they'd see their neighbor cutting the hedge or the lawn, and you'd strike up a conversation. And nowadays, we press a button, we go into our garages, and we go directly into our homes. There, you sit and talk with people. I was sharing at a council this last week that it's sort of assumed in Kenya that when you go visit a friend and you have another appointment later in the afternoon, the second appointment will understand if you're late, because it's assumed that you will finish the conversation with who you're visiting with first. And even if it extends past your second appointment, they know that you have something urgent or something important to talk with another person. So that's something we could all learn. I'd like to teach you one thing that we learned in Kenya. Well, we learned a lot of things, but one of the things that I can share with you, I may need Don to come up. Yes, come up here. It's called the Kenyan handshake. And in Kenya, they have a unique handshake. It's sort of like a trifecta kind of thing. So I want you guys all to try this later. So when you shake someone's hand in Kenya, you do a normal handshake, but then you go into the bro. You got to grab each other's thumb. And then you end it like that, take it home with the normal handshake. So I want you to practice that when you get home today. Thank you, Don. And one last other thing. I had the opportunity to spend Easter in Kenya. And so one of the traditions in a Kenyan church, and this might be something hard for us to adopt in North America, but as the church service is going on, the pastor stops the service and says, "Who's new here?" And what you have to do is you have to come up. So Pastor Silas was quite gracious to us in the first two Sundays. He says, "No, you guys are guests. You just sit, relax." And other people would come up and share their story. But I was not so lucky on Easter Sunday morning in front of 2+103 people that I didn't know, that I went to a church service with one of the organizers called Everlyn. And she let me come to church with her. And I think I was the only white person, I'm sure, among 300 people. But she says to me, "Okay, it's your turn." And I say, "For what?" She said, "Get up there." So I went up there, and I didn't really know what to share, but I did ask the pastor's permission. And it's something that I just want to share with you guys real quickly, and I hope we can do. I didn't ask Pastor Dennis, but I'm sure I hope he'll approve. We're a few weeks after Easter, and one of the traditions we have in North America, which they don't have in Kenya, is that on Easter morning, we always share, "He is risen," and the congregation responds, "He is risen indeed." So I thought maybe it's been a couple weeks later, but he's risen every day. We just celebrate it one day here. And if I could just do that with the congregation, with my own home church, if you could just participate with me. He is risen. Amen.
I get to fill in all the blanks, I guess. This is about my fourth trip that I was on, and it was wonderful to go to a different part of the country. every morning we had to take about a half hour drive to get to where we were working on something they called roads. I think most of our dirt paths out in our backyards are probably, you know, and out the back 40 are better than what the roads were. Anyways, we just arrive at the school, and the work crew is always there working already. And this little black guy in here, that's kind of what William looked like. He was the foreman of the work crew. They're all that black, and it's amazing. But you get out of there, and you start working, and like Dale said, more mortar, more mortar, more brick, more brick, more screw it, twisting, twisting, chop, 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 chop. And that's what he would do all the time. And we got to the point where when he did it, we did it back to him. He says, more mortar. We just like imitate him. More brick. More twisting. Chop, chop, chop. And he, in his blackness, he'd get an ear-to-ear smile. His big, bright, white teeth would be showing it. And you could tell he was just thoroughly enjoying the fact that we were just kind of interacting with them. And that's what it was. It was wonderful to be with the work crew. Because that's the way it was. They just, we fit in as one of the work crew. And we talked with them, we joked with them, we teased with them. And that was really, really a lot of fun. If you saw in the video, there's a couple little clips of me. One, there was a little girl that was in front of me. Oh, no, we got to back up. Did anybody mention it was hot? We were working, and there was one little clip where it was about 30 degrees a lot of the time with high humidity. And that was outside, a little bit of a breeze blowing most of the time. But we go into this little corner room with just a tin roof, and there's got to be at least 35 to 40 in there with no air moving, and you just die. You just die in there. And so did anybody say it was hot? Next to room to this, you saw the little clip in there. There's a group of about grade two-year-old kids. And I went in there. There's no teachers, it seemed like, right after lunch. So I went in there, and I started singing with them for about 15 minutes one day. And you saw me there, we're doing, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. And we went through that about three times. We did running over. And then we had to go back to work. Well, the next day, then when you saw the little girl kind of in front of me with some flowers and presenting us with flowers, that's their welcoming ceremony. And so they went through that and they do the little dance, which was so cute because there's like six of them that came up for each of us. But then we sat down, like you say, we're like dignitaries. We're all lined up in the front. And they're talking, and when it came around, all of a sudden this little class of kids comes up to the front in front of us, and they start singing, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. And I only taught them the day before, and they did that like right in front of us, and that was such an honor for me to have them do that back to us. It was just so cool. That was my most vivid memory of the whole thing, and this thing that's going to stick with me forever is that. Another thing that we got to do is, in this picture here, we got to deliver the baskets. You see a basket of goodies there to these really poor families and spend some time visiting with them and getting to know what their life is like. Most of these people were widowed people, or like there's no income at all. And so we were able to go down there to share some time visiting with them, finding out their story and giving them a basket and blessing them in that way. But in the same way, before we left, they would have to pray for us. And it was just really neat that they, even though they were so poor, they still prayed a blessing on us. That was probably my main things that really impacted me. And the fact that how doesn't matter how poor they are, they seem so satisfied. And God is what their God is their strength. God is their just their support. God is there to just sustain them. And it was just amazing just to see all that. So those are my impressions. Those are my highlights. And anyway, it was just amazing. Thank you.
Well, thank you to the team for sharing, and I do have to say it was a great team. We had a debrief with the Hungry for Life guys last week, and Chad was just saying, I can't believe how much work you guys did for a small team, how well you got along. And most of us have known each other for a long time, but we got to know each other better. And just it is amazing to see that we go on these trips primarily so we can make connection and connect heart to heart with people, to see what God is doing around the world, that he's not just working in North America, but the God that works here works there. And to knit our hearts together with believers from other cultures is truly amazing. It was a joy to see what we were able to accomplish physically, to actually get the framework of the bricks up for the two classrooms. I didn't expect us to get that far, but each day you would see that brick layer getting higher and higher. And we learned a lot. I'm not sure they're ready to hire me as a bricklayer, but Murray and some of the others, probably. But at one point, Tiberius, who was the engineer on the project, was sitting off in the shade, and he called me over and says, "Pastor Dennis, come here." I thought I was in trouble. Went over, and he says, "I have to tell you why I'm sitting here. I have recently had surgery, and the motorcycle ride out today was not good to me. I don't want you to think I'm lazy and don't want to work with you." So I was able to pray with him, and he doesn't go to one of the churches, but that next Sunday he showed up in church. And I said, "Oh, I didn't know you go here," because I don't. I haven't been to church in a long time, but I felt compelled to come. And he says, "I was encouraged by your message today and by your testimonies." So we do have some kind of an impact there. I have to share one last story, then I want to tell you one thing, and then I'll pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up, if you would. Pastor Felix, who was the one that looked like Kevin Hart, and he did and acted like him, other than an accent. Most gracious, sweet-talking man in the world came up to us one day and greeted us and said, "So glad to have you back today." He'd always grab my hand and go, "Pastor Dennis!" You know, and he did that this morning. He says, "The tea is being prepared, but Pastor Sylvester will have to serve you today. I've been bit by a rabid dog, and I need to go to the city." And he jumps on his motorcycle after being bit by a rabid dog and goes, and then about an hour later, he's back serving us tea. These are the most amazing, hardworking people in the world. I want to share with you that, and I'm going to ask for prayer from you. I have a phone call coming up next week with a church called Christ Community Church in a little suburb of Ottawa, and they are the ones who began the work in Sage. They're the ones who got this school started, and we are talking about the potential of our church partnering with them. The Ethiopia thing, I'm not sure what's going to happen there long term. We're not giving up on it long term, but this little church that is about a quarter the size of our church has done all this work up till now. And they were truly at the point where they did not know how to get the last two classrooms done. And I'm not saying that God did what God did in Ethiopia to allow this to happen, but God allowed our resources not to go to waste. And when we had to cancel Ethiopia, Chad got on the phone and called out to the partner church and said, "Could you guys use some help?" And they said, "We can't figure out how to pay for these two classrooms." And we had just the right amount of money to do it. So we ended up there doing that. So the pastor and I and a member of their committee will be chatting this next week about the potential of future endeavors together. Because, you know, it doesn't take long. It only takes five people to go to a place for 2 weeks to knit your heart to them forever. So be praying for that, if you would, because if that's a potential partnership for us, that's got to be God's calling, not mine, not any of ours. So I want us to be praying for that as a community. I want to pray for us. We're going to sing one last song. We're going to do our offering, and then we're going to dismiss you. And I assume there's some stuff you brought that's still left out there because we had lots of food. Please grab what you brought and take home with you and enjoy. Go grab some neighbors. Bless them. Do something with it. Let's pray together. Father, as we come this morning, we have come from different places with different history. We've come from places of hurt and places of joy. We've come with lots of different things in our hearts. And yet today we came to build community. We came to hear about what you're doing around the world. And I thank you for Don and for Dale and for Murray and for Marvin and for Chad and for my chance to work with them on this trip. And Father, I would ask very simply that you would continue to bless the work in Sage and the other school in the area, Lord, and just the church that's blossoming there. And I would pray that, Lord, that those workers and those teachers and those students would not think that we just came and we left and we will not remember them. Allow them to know that we are continuing to pray for them. And Father, for these poor families that are caught in poverty, but they're also caught, Lord, in different cults of different religions in the area, Lord, we would pray that not only would they find schooling, would they find food, but that we would pray first and foremost that they would find the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Father, as these kids are learning it in the school from their teachers, I would pray that they would take it home and proclaim the message of Christ in their homes. Give them the joy of the Lord to do that in their homes. And I thank you for that we did see there. So we give this to you now, and Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you even as we take our offering, because it's through our giving through this church and to the world that we're able to make a difference in different places. So Father, as we take our offering now, we see this as an act of worship as well. And we thank you for the day that we've had. And we commit this now to you in Christ's name. Amen.